This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. I'm Michael Monks. The population of the Kenton County Detention Center in Covington has been reduced. Just a couple of weeks ago, there were more than 700 inmates inside there, and as of last Friday, the number was a little closer to 400. Most of the release inmates are now clients of the Covington-based Life Learning Center, an organization that aims to help people get their lives back on track. It's part of a partnership between the jail, the center, and the Kenton County Commonwealth's Attorney's Office. It was announced last Friday. The immediate goal of reducing the inmate population is to slow the spread of COVID-19. And joining Cincinnati Edition to talk about the program, our Kenton County Commonwealth's Attorney, Rob Sanders. He's on the phone with us. Rob, thank you for taking some time.
Good morning, Michael. Thank you for having me.
Absolutely. And we also have on the line Life Learning Center President Alicia Webb Edgington. Alicia, thank you for being with us as well.
Thank you so much for having us as well.
Rob, you're no stranger to talking to the media. Usually it's unfortunate circumstances where a serious crime has been alleged or committed. And you're known around these parts as a pretty tough on crime guy. And now you're talking about a program that's taking people out of jail. Give us a little bit of background on how these conversations began and your role in this.
Well, Michael, I never got into felony prosecution in order to chase drug addicts around town, and locking them up in prison seems to, at least at times, be counterproductive. Really, what we want to do is get them into treatment, get their lives back together, keep them from breaking the law, make sure they're not committing any sort of ancillary crimes like theft or receiving stolen property, forging checks, credit card fraud, things like that that go along with drug addiction on a usual basis. We try to force as many of these drug addicts into treatment as possible so that we don't have to incarcerate them. We want to make sure that we save the state's prison beds and our tax dollars for the most violent felons, the ones that really pose a threat to public safety or the ones that won't quit breaking the law. Those are the people that we want to take off the streets so that everybody else can live and work and raise a family in peace without being a threat of somebody's harm. So in looking for ways to make sure that drug addicts get off the drugs and don't commit any other offenses, what we found is that many of them, you know, the bottom line is they didn't receive good parenting growing up. They needed somebody to keep them in line, and that's where the Life Learning Center comes in. This is an organization that pays close attention to their clients. They literally take away every possible excuse someone could have for not succeeding. They make sure people receive educational services, vocational rehab, counseling, you name it, they will provide it. They do everything from feed folks, help them find shelter, help them find jobs. They have workout facilities, clothing, you name it. They're there to solve every possible problem. And oftentimes it just takes somebody like Alicia and her staff looking over someone's shoulder, telling them what to do. You know, the same way my mom and dad always told me what to do when I was growing up, making sure that I wasn't making a fool of myself and getting a good education, getting a job, things like that. It's really what everybody needs to succeed. It's just that some people get it later in life and they're getting it from the Life Learning Center.
So, Rob, how are the inmates chosen to participate in this program? I know that you just mentioned, you know, some of these lower level criminal charges, but, you know, like, was there a list pulled up? And then who's going through this list?
Well, I think you're asking me now about our response to the COVID-19 situation. Normally, we use the Life Learning Center in conjunction with felony probation, and we do this for people that are not full-time employed or have other social service needs. With this COVID situation facing us and trying to prevent the spread of the virus among the jail population, I've literally spent the last 2 weeks pouring through an Excel spreadsheet of every inmate in the detention center.
And so what was the reaction from the inmates?
I think most of them appreciated it. I mean, who wouldn't appreciate an opportunity to get out of jail in a, you know, a second chance, basically an opportunity to get out and prove they can get off drugs, quit breaking the law, and succeed on the outside.
And Alicia Webb Edgington is the president of the Life Learning Center, which is a part of this program, a significant part of this program. And Alicia, Rob Sanders was quoted in one media report that this is not a get-out-of-jail-free card. These folks are basically enrolling in a program that you offer. Tell us a little bit about what they'll be experiencing through your stewardship.
Absolutely, Michael. And again, thanks to the leadership of Rob and Terry Carl and the the judges that have entrusted us to do this work. You know, when an individual is released from detention and comes to Life Learning Center, they go through an enrollment process, and it's explained to them that we utilize a cognitive approach, evidence-based curriculum, that is an education curriculum coupled that with a care continuum, which is to remove the barriers and the obstacles that have challenged them in life and then teach them essential skills. A lot of people refer to those, Michael, as soft skills. As a mother, I call those essential skills. And as Rob said, we were fortunate to have parents that raised us appropriately and gave us a good foundation and background to get us on the right track, and that is getting an education, learning to be a good moral person, following a very disciplined approach to life, and learning skills that would parlay into a professional career. And those are the things that we're doing at Life Learning Center with a very disciplined approach with this population to show them that there are individuals that care about their success, care about their sobriety, and want them to succeed and regain their dignity.
And for those who don't know, the Life Learning Center operates in an historic old building that has great ties to this region and really the nation. Those of you familiar with the company Stewart Ironworks, they built a lot of the wrought iron fences that you see around the Victorian homes and all that, but had moved out of Covington, and this old building has since been renovated. And it's really quite lovely, Alicia. And I'm wondering, though, you were talking about reducing the population at the jail, and you've got this huge building there on Madison Avenue in Covington. How are you dealing with this surge of new enrollees in the program? You have, I think you said, about 123 new enrollees in this program. How are you handling this educational program while also being mindful of the social distancing restrictions that we're all taking part in?
Absolutely, and thank you for that question. Yes, we have actually converted our foyers to do both enrollment and virtual visits with probation and parole, and I'll explain that in just a minute, so that we can maintain the CDC guidelines and that of the governor for social distancing. But with all that said, we're using virtual platforms to continue teaching our curriculum. We take attendance. They have homework. Also, it allows for us to do what is our candidate support coordination, which is look at their care continuum plans, make certain that they're adhering to all of their requirements that have been set aside by the courts, as well as probation and parole and their intensive outpatient programming to follow their journey to sobriety. We're also utilizing those platforms to provide them Alcoholics Anonymous and Narcotics Anonymous so that they are not isolating. I don't know if you had the opportunity, but Sam Kielness, who is a very good friend of the Life Learning Center, he wrote an op-ed in the New York Times this week talking about the challenge of individuals suffering substance use disorder and isolation. So we're really trying to address those things, Michael, and it's critical to individuals that are being released for the crimes that Rob discussed, that the individuals that are suffering substance use disorder cannot isolate and not have interaction with other individuals that are in like situations.
And Alicia Webb-Edgington, who is the president of the Life Learning Center, is our guest, along with Kenton County Commonwealth's attorney, Rob Sanders. Alicia, you were a state legislator. Prior to that, you were also in law enforcement, correct?
Yes, sir. I was a former retired Kentucky State Trooper.
And so I want to ask both of you, on a criminal justice philosophical level, what has each of you learned about the system as you approach this alternative means of dealing with people who are facing charges and now trying to rehabilitate them? I'll start with you, Alicia.
Well, as Rob indicated, Rob and I worked together. He prosecuted cases, and I brought the cases to him. And full disclosure, I was a narcotics detective for many years. You know, I am one of those people that you learn from your past. And while I had a job to do as a state trooper and obviously was passionate about the rule of law, and I still am, I think there's a better way for us to address substance use disorder and low-level possession criminal activity as compared to locking people up. I think we can be better stewards of taxpayer dollars. Currently, the Commonwealth of Kentucky has a $650 million corrections budget, and I feel like that those are funds that can be utilized in other places for reentry, getting people back on track, getting people to work where they are contributing to society rather than consuming.
And Rob, I'll ask that same question to you. Your thoughts just from the philosophy of criminal justice and whether recent events have evolved your views at all, or if it's just giving you an opportunity to act in a way that perhaps we haven't previously.
Well, the recent events are more an experiment in bail reform right now, I think. Most of these folks that we have let out of jail are in either pretrial or they are in on probation violations, but the reason they're in is because they haven't shown up to court. We're pretty progressive, I would say, in Northern Kentucky, at least in Kenton County, about the number of people that are released without posting a cash bail. The problem is many of them don't show back up to court, and when they do, the judges put warrants out for them and then lock them up and leave them sit. Those are the people we are now letting out of jail in trusting them to come back. Now, it's in a very good control situation because the police officers right now aren't doing a lot of proactive policing. There's not nearly as many traffic stops, not nearly as many proactive investigations. So it's a lot harder to get arrested, to be quite frank. I think the bigger experiment or the bigger thing to learn is who will show up for court, who we can trust out, who we can trust to return. And it might be a big mess before it's all over, but it's a working experiment in progress.
And Rob, I've covered your office for many years, and it's not the first time there's been some alternative sentencing. Obviously, COVID-19 is a more immediate health crisis in our region, but prior to this, we were dealing with heroin for many years. I'm wondering if you could talk a little bit about what you learned from, I forget what the acronym stands for, but I believe it was called the HEART program. And HEART, that was something that you worked on to maybe get people to stop from going to jail and to learn how to recover. Did you learn from that experience in implementing this new project?
Well, yes, this partnership with the Life Learning Center is really an evolution of the HEART program. We started HEART stands for Heroin Expedited Addiction Recovery and Treatment, and we were trying to, you know, rocket docket is a term that's been around Kentucky for quite some time that refers to hurrying cases through the justice system. But what we started doing was hurrying the cases in, or hurrying the defendants into treatment, not necessarily the cases through the courts. In fact, we wanted to slow the cases down a little bit, although hurry them out of jail and into treatment, to give them an opportunity to prove that they would get treatment, they would improve themselves, and that they couldn't be entrusted with some alternative sentencing that did not include incarceration. So it was the HEART program that has now evolved since heroin is being outnumbered by methamphetamine cases at the moment. Heroin's still around. It's not gone by any stretch. But what we have done is take the HEART program that includes drug treatment and then pair it with the Life Learning Center, which includes about everything else anybody could possibly need to succeed. And that's what we are using now to try and make sure that these defendants do find a productive lifestyle and stay out of the court system.
We don't have a representative from the Kenton County Jail on the program right now, but Rob, I'm wondering if you can speak a little bit to the measures that are underway in there at all for the remaining inmates. There's still around 400 people in there.
That's
and employees.
Correct. I get an update every morning from Deputy Browning at the jail who lets me know exactly who is in the jail, what their charges are, and how many of them there are. As of 8:30 this morning, we had 437. Unfortunately, some of our criminals are not cooperating with our efforts to reduce the population because we're still having about a half dozen people a day get arrested for felony offenses. The jail is distancing as best that they can. You know, when we first started this, we were doing video dockets at court, and everybody in the video was still sitting on top of one another because there weren't enough chairs in the courtroom. Now we've got the population down enough that they can social distance, at least in the jail's courtroom. They're spreading them out in the dormitories. They will isolate anybody that shows signs of illness. So far, we haven't had, to my knowledge, anyone in our detention center. No, we haven't had anybody test positive. I don't think we've even had to test anyone. We have had some people that were brought in after being arrested that were quarantined from our normal jail population, and we kept them that way because we don't want to introduce outsiders into our inmate population and then released before they ever made it into the regular part of the jail.
And let me ask you about some of the comments that you just made about criminals not cooperating out in the general population right now. I'd seen some tweets about that from your Twitter feed. And, you know, how are you supposed to balance that? What kind of message is being sent to people who may have some bad ideas during this time, take advantage of people? What's your concern?
Well, my concerns, you know, we're still going to take violent crime very seriously. We're going to take major offenses very seriously. This is far from a get-out-of-jail-free situation. Like I've said, we've had two rapes and a kidnapping in the 2 weeks that we've been doing this, and those individuals all remain incarcerated, and they're going to stay incarcerated until their case is done. I expect and anticipate they'll end up serving a prison sentence. You know, the bottom line is, while there may be less enforcement of traffic laws right now or some low-level offenses like that, you know, we are still locking up the really bad guys. And you know, my concern is we don't need any more inmates. We certainly don't want new inmates because they could potentially introduce the virus to our jail, which has been quarantined by the very nature of being a jail. But yet at the same time, depending on what the criminals do, that can always be avoided.
And Alicia Webb Edgington is president of the Life Learning Center, which is facilitating this alternative program for those who were recently released from jail in order to reduce the population at the jail in Covington. Alicia, this is a 12-week program traditionally. How will you be measuring success?
During the program, we do pre- and post-exams. We also use a tool identified as Terrace Metrics, where we're being studied by the Veterans Administration as well as the University of Cincinnati, that measures grit and overall mental health, Michael, as well as we do pre- and post-testing on each one of the modules. So there's five areas that are reflected in this program: physical, financial, emotional, relational, and spiritual. And during each one of these areas of instruction, an instructor teaches, and we also have a proctor that's online with the online instructor, and then testing is provided as well. So that's the measures and the tools that we use. But to graduate from the program, you must get employed. We still applaud all of our employer partners. We have a number of jobs that are available, and while a lot of institutions are laying people off, we still have great opportunities for individuals that support our transformational employment for individuals that have suffered felonies or in substance use disorder.
Well, it's certainly worth following, and we'll look forward to following up on this and see how the success of it played out. And we'll talk to both of you again. I do want to thank Kenton County Commonwealth's Attorney Rob Sanders and Life Learning Center President Alicia Webb Edgington for talking to us this afternoon. Thanks to both of you.
Thank you, Michael. Stay safe and stay healthy.
You do the same. We'll talk again soon. Up next, a Northern Kentucky state representative on the coronavirus relief bill adopted in Frankfort and signed by the governor as the General Assembly is set to reconvene to talk out a 2-year budget. This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU.